step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Dr. Rachel Glick is a licensed professional counselor. She is an author, and she is a returning guest to Lifeblood. Welcome back to the show, Rachel.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, always nice great to talk you with you. Yeah, yeah. For sure. Refresh our memories. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Thank you. So I'm a married woman and have two adult children and two daughter-in-laws and a grandson. And so family is a really big part of my life. And I'm also very passionate about being a psychotherapist, helping people actualize, you know, and what they will find in their own happiness and well-being, and especially in their relationships too. And I study, I'm a teacher for the Kabbalah Center. So spirituality is woven, a significant part of where I've gained what has helped me continue to reach more fulfillment in my life. And so I like to make that approachable and inspiring for people. And it's just good practical stuff. So I have a book, A Soulful Marriage, that I put together a lot of that for really any relationship, but especially, you know, most significant, you know, your significant other.
And relationships are sometimes very easy, sometimes very difficult. They're very, very fluid. If you've ever been in one, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes.
And so I love, you know, helping people to actualize and bringing in spirituality, because there's so much wisdom that can be learned. Sometimes we feel like we're the only one going through something, but in reality, we're all kind of going through similar stuff, just in different ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I appreciate what you do, that you care enough to, you know, allow people to learn things that helps their lives. So.
Well, you know, it's selfishly motivated, because I can certainly take and apply most of it anyway. And as a married guy, and
yeah,
it's tough. You have two people in the case of my wife and I, we're both very, very high achieving people, and we want to be doing good work, and we want to have a good relationship. We want to have good kids, and we want to do all of it. And resources are spread pretty thin. So sometimes when we have emotional conversations, they devolve into arguments and not usually helpful.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it's human. It's we have a very elevated part of us, and we have a beastly part of us that can come out where we get very reactive. Yeah.
And it lives within all of us all the time.
Yes, it does. Yes.
So when we're having an emotional argument, how do you coach people to do that, so that it's more of just an intense conversation? Or is argument a bad word?
No, it's not a bad word. In fact, it's really good to have friction. It's really good to argue. But there are states of being that we get ourselves in that make it a productive argument or make it cause more harm. So I think that's the main thing is I have like 5 W's in my book of like questions to ask yourself. Why do I want to bring this up? Why am I so upset about this? What's really, you know, and then what is like, what am I trying to say? What's really bothering me? What is my goal here? And then the weather, you know, like whether or not it's really worth bringing up, is this, or am I in the right state of mind right now to bring it up? And that brings us to the when, like, when is it a good time? And then the last W is the way, like what is the way that is the best method, the best approach to dealing with whatever it is that I'm feeling hurt about or frustrated about or needing. So there's a lot more should go into preparing for an argument than we give resources for or that we think is appropriate or healthy.
No, now we're gonna have this thing out right now, Rachel. I'm gonna speak my mind. I love playing with words, and I love little trite, nonsensey kind of things. The thought that I had recently was, I am me, and my thoughts are them. And just because, or my feelings are them, rather.
Yeah.
And it's like I think I intellectually always have known that, but when we have our feelings, they're so influential on us. And your W's strikes me that that's such a wonderful mechanism for being able to separate me and them, me from my feelings, honor them, of course, but to make a good decision about whether I want to really go in with my spouse or have a fight about whatever it is.
Exactly. And that's why the first step I always recommend is the pause, the power of pause, because we need to regulate our emotions. We can think of it like we have different parts of our brain. We've got the upstairs and the downstairs. The downstairs is more emotional, doesn't have perspective. It's the part of us that is more of our survival responses to things, the protector parts of us that are more of the ego. But we also have like the upstairs part of the brain that can reach higher consciousness, that can see big picture, has perspective, can be intentional. And so until we regulate our emotions, then we're gonna see red, you know, we're gonna see only what's wrong with the person. We're gonna see how they're at fault. We're gonna feel like a victim. But when we pause and it takes some time to really slow down and do what, you know, like for me, sometimes taking a shower, like, well, you know, or going outside for a little walk or organizing a closet. Order helps my mind kind of get regulated, my emotions. So, you know, that's the first step is to have as a couple an agreement that when we start to get too reactive or it's not going to go well, one or both of us, we need like a code word or something that says, I really care about this relationship. So let's wait until we're calmer and we're both reactive and it's not going to go well. So that's the first step I always recommend.
Which definitely makes sense. I love the upstairs and the downstairs, that my emotions are living in the downstairs. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that the ego, it makes sense that it lives upstairs. And that's just a different, obviously my thoughts are very powerful, but the ego, it seems like it's an emotional thing also.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And that is the right amygdala is where the emotions are and where our like, and our, you know, some people have trauma. So that also affects how we respond. Our nervous system and our brain is when it was formed during trauma, forms pathways to protect itself. So the ego is a protective mechanism, but it is only looking for instant relief. It doesn't have the capacity. These ego protective parts can't see the big picture. So that's why whatever helps us to get in touch with our core self or our part of us that has more perspective, that is calmer, is healthy and recommended.
In terms of, so the ego, it is more short term?
Yes, absolutely. It's always looking for instant relief versus what's going to be best for the long term. It wants to talk about it. That's the part that we need to talk about it now. For some, that is instant relief because I need to get it resolved. I can't, if I don't say this, I'm never going to get to say it. And I can't deal with this pain right now of what I'm feeling. But the other part that can be also reactive is those that who cope by shutting down and just avoid. It's also temporary relief. And the idea is we want to embrace what it is that we can gain from this encounter to grow. And we can't do that when we're dysregulated.
So how do I square ego with self-actualization?
Well, first of all, ego is, this is from what I studied in studying with the Kabbalah Center, that like ego is a healthy thing to start with. It's a part of the whole story of our magnificence of all that we are. And it is designed to protect us. It is an essential thing we need to have. It also is about desire. Our ego is like the engine for, I want something. I want to feel better. I want more. So we don't want to squelch the desire, but we do want to transform the ego's limitedness and see it for what it is, that it's really going to, yes, it's going to help me get what I want, but it's going to only do it in a way that isn't going to last. So we want to awaken another part of us that has a desire, which could be considered like our, you know, higher self or our soul or the part of us that has higher level thinking. It doesn't matter what we describe it as. I see it as all the same thing, that has the capacity to look at things from a wiser perspective, a longer term perspective, that has the patience and the ability to endure what's uncomfortable so that we can make a choice to respond in a way that will benefit ourselves better and the people around us and the world in a long term way. And that's a really difficult thing to do because the ego is a very strong force. And the key is we need to be able to recognize it when it's there and not judge it, because it is human and it's got value for us, but not let that be the totality of what we are. Like, we don't want the ego to be driving our bus, is a way of putting it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So what is ego's relationship to identity? Is that the right question? I don't know the right word. Who? Me? George?
That's a really good question. And this reminds me of like getting in touch, like the next step after pausing, I always like to encourage people to get in touch with themselves, you know? And so that means first exploring what our identity is, is our ego our identity? And I don't know, my understanding is that we do need to form an identity when we're young, like to some degree to start the process of developing.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
But ultimately, we're here to break our identity down because the identity is limiting also. Like I always hesitate when I'm asked like to describe myself. Like I say that I'm a mother and I say that I'm married and I'm also aware that like I just want to be an open like passageway for goodness to come through me. And that's really all I care about. That's not really having an identity, because if I lock too much in, oh, I'm a writer, then, you know, I might limit to what in ways that I'm supposed to share with the world, or it may be that I'm using that to make me feel like I'm valuable. No, that's not true. I'm inherently valuable and you're inherently valuable. So identity can sometimes be a way that helps us to show up in the world and the external part of life, which is society and family and relationships. But ultimately, to really feel fulfilled in life and also in our relationship is, you know, to be a little more like it's vulnerable to not be hanging on to our identity, to just be fluid with how can I add value?
So in some ways, identity, it's a story, or the story we're telling ourselves about who we are, and the ego protects that story.
Does the ego protect that story? The ego, I think, is part of creating that story too. And they all kind of work in service of each other. The ego, the story, and the identity. They're kind of like, yeah. Yeah.
And that's why self-actualization is so hard, because to start just viewing ourselves as a conduit for good things to come through. And
exactly.
That's very evolved.
Yeah. And it's on, you know, it's not a new idea, like Maslow, and most people who have taken psychology in any time in their lives, you know, there's the pyramid, and, you know, actualization is at the very top of the pyramid. But right before that, you know, is some sort of identity, some sort of, like, that you feel like you found your place in the world. So sometimes we need that to then let it go and go beyond that.
So getting back to the original sort of conversation about yes. being able to have these arguments without, you know, wanting to break up your relationship, and instead to kind of have breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for me to figure things out for myself. And then all of a sudden I'm trying to have these difficult conversations and engage in mm-hmm. difficult endeavors, like child rearing with this other person who has all this other stuff going on too. So that's why intense. It's essential to have this framework that you're talking about. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And I found that that stage of life with raising children was the hardest on the marriage, and the hardest because you're so depleted. Your needs are, you're giving so much on a regular basis. And it's really hard to prioritize the relationship, to go through a emotional, you is more likely to be depleted. So therefore we're going to be more likely to be emotional, and our needs are less likely to be met. So then it's also harder to show up with our best self. And it's just, so we really want to be gracious as possible with ourselves and each other. Yeah.
Do you encourage people to have ground rules, or to have agreements on how we're going to have disagreements and arguments?
Yes. I call it a conflict constitution. And like, there are sometimes people have, depending on maybe their childhood experiences, they may have certain words they don't want to hear. There may be certain tones of voice. Some are okay with, okay, we can duke it out and yell. Others cannot cope with a raised voice. It's too triggering. But it's important to talk about it when you're neutral, not in the middle of an argument, and make up, you know, what will help you be able to hear me best when we're arguing, or when we have it, when we're having some friction or conflict. I don't think you ever really have to raise your voice, or for very long. I don't recommend that. That's my but that may just be my childhood, you know, that influences me. But absolutely, I think it's good to talk about it ahead of time and be respectful of each other and what you need arguing. If one needs some time to calm down, then it's important to honor that. But if the other one feels insecure and too scared, like, then you need to reassure that partner that we will get back to it, and don't take too long to get it resolved.
Is it helpful to tell the other person to calm down?
Have you tried that?
I have.
How does it go?
Poorly, usually.
Same. Exactly, because that's two egos trying to have a conversation. What I've done with that, well, what do you think? What would be a better way?
Anything.
Anything but that. What I have tried, what I have done is, you first can say that for me, you just use I language. You don't tell them what they need to do, but you can use I language and say that it doesn't work. It won't work for me for us to talk about it when you're not calm or when I'm not calm. I want to talk. We're both reactive. Let's talk about it when we can get productive with this and grow from it. Even if you're like seething in your teeth, you know, like, I want to grow from this, and I can't do it when I can't hear you when you're in that state. And then I have found that when I start seeing it happen, when I see that my husband and I are about to go just from 0 to 100, it's just sort of been my job in the relationship. Typically, he has other ways of calming us and getting us grounded. But I usually, you know, say that something soothing, that we are going to talk about this, but I'm just not ready. I'm not going to like what I say. I'm not going to like how I say it. And you're not going to like it either. So I take ownership for, if I see him not calm, I also own it myself that I'm not going to be either. And I need more time than he does to get calmer. I notice.
What came into my head was that saying, discretion is the better part of valor. Sometimes it's better simply to walk away than engage.
Yes.
But to have language around, instead of just turning your back and walking away, to be able to articulate, which you've just done.
And that's the hardest part. But right then, you're already not connected to your ego. You're already connected. So that's why it's a big leap to even say that. You've already started to climb out because you're thinking not just of yourself. The ego is self-preservational. When you're already thinking of how am I going to help this whole relationship and him or her or them to be able to handle what I need right now, you're already thinking of the other person. And when we're in a sharing mode while we're taking care of ourselves, that's kind of you're already starting to connect to higher vibrations, so to speak, or higher levels of a consciousness. And it's not easy, but that's why it's so important. Like, we don't allocate training for this. We don't get trained in how to do this. And it is a skill and it is a practice. And the better you get at it, the more confident you feel and the better it goes in your relationship.
It's so funny. There's those jokes about, I'm so glad I know what an isosceles triangle is, but I don't know how to do my income taxes. And you could certainly insert this into the income tax place.
That is so true. I know what an isosceles triangle is, but I have no idea how to handle conflict in my relationship.
Yeah. You know, the most important thing I'm ever going to do.
Exactly. It's like funny and not funny, but it really is funny. Yeah.
It is hilarious when you break it down to what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, our lives are the sum of the interactions we have with the other people. And when we disagree, which is like, I can deal with the good times. I'm awesome at that. But how do we deal with the tough stuff?
Yes, absolutely. Something that can help so that when you do come back together to talk, not just taking pause, you know, what do you do with that time, is really getting more grounded in yourself of what's really bothering you. What might this be reminding you of that, you know, this is your growth area? What insecurity is it raising? What trait do you know you need to work on? What are you not doing for yourself that you're expecting your partner to do for you? You know, like, take better care of yourself. You know, if you feel neglected, where are you neglecting yourself? Like, that time also helps to settle the emotion. And it puts ourselves back in our own driver's seat, more of our core self or our soul in the driver's seat versus our ego. Because our ego is things are happening to me in the ego states. And so that's a really important step to take. And people can do it in their own way. Some go like to journal or go deeper, and some even just like ask yourself two questions, you know, why is this bothering me? And what is it reminding me of? Or what do I need? What do I really need here?
If we can learn to check in with ourselves and asking those questions, and it's such a, we're just breaking a pattern that we have instead of stimulus triggered response.
Yes.
Simply inserting something in between those two things.
Exactly. And everything in society encourages it. And we're wired in our, you know, survival DNA to externalize, to be very focused on the outside of us. And this is where we find our inner power. And it's counterintuitive. It's an inversion, can be called. Like, most things that are the most truthful and powerful are inversions in society, the opposite of what we tend to see.
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So the good news, it sounds like this, once you have the framework and an understanding of how, and you start to understand yourself a little bit better, of how you can see red or you need to really dig your heels in, say, okay, that's not productive. And whenever I do that, it doesn't lead to good outcomes. It might make me feel good for 30 seconds until I realize that I just, you know, threw a grenade into my relationship.
So true. And then you feel so worse after. And checking in with the body is another really important thing, which requires doing it not just right then, but on a regular basis. I just invite myself to remember to just, like, I have this thing called PBR, pause, breathe, relax. three steps to just kind of bring our energy away from robotically doing externalizing and like just not being conscious and bringing ourselves back to ourselves and remembering what matters to us in any given moment. And so, or just doing a body scan after that, of the pause, breathe, relax. Like how, when I, if I'm aware that my body is so tense, that tells me I am not in a state to talk. I need to do something, even just something that brings me into my five senses to get centered.
Oh, look, I have made my hands into fists. I wonder why.
I love your sense of humor. Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm wringing them, and I'm, yes,
exactly. Exactly. And we feel like the energy, the arms want to punch, you know, then we know it's that energy is going to come out of our mouths. Yes.
I believe I'm turning into a green monster right now. What can I do to stop this? What was it? Yeah. Pause, breathe, relax.
Yes. And that's a good, funny, actually, humor is so good. Like, I don't know if you have a lot of humor in your relationship. I hope you do because it's natural for you.
You have to ask my wife that.
But during those tense times, humor can go really wrong, though, if it's the wrong timing. You know, you give it a go. But even just like bringing up the, like, okay, I'm turning into a green monster. This is that owns it. You're not saying you're turning into a green monster and pointing your finger. You're saying, I see some green monsters coming and I think they're in me. You know, and then, green monster, you know, and then walk out, like, you know, just be playful and have a ritual, you know, like, I don't know, there's this trend in the young people, the teenagers of 6, 7 or something. I don't know, this 6, 7 thing, but it's really like this trend. You start to say something funny and everybody gets it, even though it means nothing, but that could be your green monster, you know, thing is your private, like a private joke. Private jokes are great for couples, for families.
I think that that's what everybody's mantra should be moving forward is 6, 7, whatever the F that means, Rachel.
Exactly. Huh.
Well, Rachel, as always, this has been great. Thank you so much for coming back on. Where can people learn more? How can they learn about this framework? Where can they get their copy of the book, Soulful Marriage? All the things.
Yeah. So I have a website that's my name, Dr. Rachel Glick. There's no C in Glick, and that's, you'll see a tab for books. So you'll see the places you can buy the book, A Soulful Marriage, and it has my heart and soul in there. And I wish for you to really be happier and fuller in your life. And I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn.
All the places. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Rachel your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas, or passively aggressively share it with your spouse. Go to drrachelglick.com, drrachelglick.com, and check out everything that Rachel and I have been talking about. Pick up your copy of A Soulful Marriage and find her on social media as well. Thanks again, Rachel.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.